Hey, Dreamers, my first book, Joe Pardo's 31 Life-Changing Concepts, just came out. It's a self-development book designed for people who hate reading books. I filled it with lots of my own hand-drawn artwork. In order to make this launch a success, I need your help. Please go to howtodream.co/book. Thank you for all your support, and I hope you have a magical day.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey, dreamers. I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Cheval John, who is making his dreams come true by running his own media company, Volano Media LLC. Glad to have you on the show, Cheval.
Thanks, Joe, for having me. I'm really honored.
I was just recently on your show as well, and I had a really great time. You asked a lot of questions that I hadn't been asked yet, so it's good to keep me on my toes, I guess.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. I kind of had to do my preparation, to make sure that, you make the guests feel welcome.
Well, you definitely do a good job of that. So keep up the good work on that front, for sure.
Thank you.
Cheval, I would love for you to start giving some background about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from St. Croix, United States, Virgin Islands, and I've been living here in Texas for close to 16 years now. And I have a degree in Spanish. Bachelor's degree in Spanish, and also I'm a blogger for my website of Volano Media, and also a contributing blogger to Millennial CEO, and also written two books as well, which one of them made the Amazon bestseller list.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. I think you said it made it on two categories?
Yes, it did. It made it on two categories.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I recently had my book go live, and it was a good run, I guess. I mean, I ended up on one, but that was because my other category was set by accident and had nothing to do with what the book was actually about.
Yeah, but at least that's a good thing, though.
Yeah. It was up there pretty much the whole time, but it hit number one like 4 hours before it stopped being on promotion. So there's
that's
always
awesome.
That. Yeah. So it's a little badge of honor now for the next number one.
Yeah, definitely agree with you with that.
So, Cheval, where did you get started as far as running a media, media website and a media company?
Well, it's a really interesting story because of the fact that I actually started blogging, in 2011 when I was a grad student for a school newspaper at the time. And then, of course, I, fell in love with it, continuously building it up. And then once I kind of stopped going to grad school, in 2012, I decided to convert the blog into my own media site, and that's how it all started. And I can say it's been an interesting journey to try to grow it, and I'm still learning along the way.
Every day we're learning something new, and we're trying to do one thing better than we did yesterday from the lessons that we learn. So it's I know it's tough sometimes. It's tough sometimes to see what those lessons are.
Yeah.
What were some of the first steps that you took once you made that decision?
What I did was I bought the domain name. That was the first thing that I did, and then after there, I just formed my LLC and just continued to run because I wanted to continue. Because at that time, I was still there wasn't no jobs available as a journalist. So I just create my own, and in that same process, ironically, I got offered as a freelance writer with the newspaper that was in Huntsville, Texas, where I was at, and it all happened simultaneously, and I continuously built upon that over like 2 years, so it was really cool, and I continuously now writing on different topics. Decided to, make it into like a sports, travel, and social media website where I could try to combine those one thing, because I guess like what they're saying, you have to find a niche, and so I just had to, but the difficult part is I can't just pick one niche because I love all three, so that's, so I just go with that.
Well, that's really why you do things like multiple categories. I mean, newspapers do more than one thing. They have multiple sections, and that's just what, you know, that's how you appeal to everybody.
Yeah, definitely. But at the same time, you know, it's, the trick is to try to, you know, narrow it down, because, like how they said, you can't spread yourself thin. And so that's a fun challenge to try to make it all work to where it's just, you know, one website.
Yeah, I mean, they say if you market to everybody, you market to no one. And I guess that is true, but you could always run multiple ads marketing to separate different, you know, entities or subsections of people.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I mean, you could run ads, different, towards different people, but at the same time, you know, what I'm learning is that sometimes it's not good to, you know, run ads on there, because I guess like how they say, like for affiliate marketing, you have to have the audience and you in order to gain those ads. But at the same time, I think you have to create your own product in order to, you know, generate some revenue as well.
Definitely. So how did your family take it when you decided that you were going to start your own media company?
Well, I really can't go into all that at the moment. So, you know, but it was, I mean, it's kind of interesting. You know, they see my website, you know, running, and it's, you know, but at the same time, you know, I just got to continuously, you know, searching as well.
Oh, that's understandable. Not everybody has the vision that you have, and if everybody didn't have a vision in the first place, we wouldn't even be talking right now, because there would be no Skype or Facebook to connect over.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is really interesting because, you know, because of the fact that some people might, what would have happened if Henry Ford didn't run with his vision for the car, or the Wright brothers didn't run with their vision for the airplanes, or Steve Jobs didn't run with his vision with Apple. None of this would have happened. And the thing is like, you have to stick with your dreams, stick with your gut, despite the challenges, because if you end up giving up, then, you know, you're, in a sense, you're letting people down, even though you might not know it yet. And I can refer to one article, from someone that I'm kind of like writing, you know, for the website called Millennial CEO. His name is Daniel Newman. He wrote an interesting piece about how he founded Millennial CEO and the backstory to that. And what's really interesting is that, you know, if he had just given up and not fulfilling his dreams of getting his degree in a difficult situations, then we probably wouldn't have seen Millennial CEO. And that's really important, to just always continue to sleep and see your dreams, no matter what the circumstances are.
What would you say the biggest roadblock you've hit so far has been?
Trying to gain some clients and audience, but I'm still learning, you know, because, you know, recently, most important thing is you have to build that foundation first. And, you know, in order to move on to the next step in growing your business, because if you don't have an audience, you know, you're going to feel like, you know, with businesses, you can create a great product, but if you don't have the audience, you're going to be in trouble there.
Now, I don't think you mentioned it, but how long ago did you start building this?
It was 3 years ago, actually. You know, 3 years ago in February, January 30th is when I had bought the domain name, and then February 6th, I believe, is when I created the LLC. So it's been that way. Let's just say I was trying to at least, you know, be more credible in that sense, because of the fact, you know, because I was constantly hearing beforehand that, you know, they didn't offer press credentials to bloggers or whatever. So I just decided to just make it official so that people can take me more seriously.
And since, like, at the time, did you have a job, or were you just...
Yeah, I was working at a retail company during that time. And so it was, so let's just say it was doing it on the side here. So, but I can say it's been one interesting ride to try to build it up as well. And I guess at the same time, I'm realizing that you can, you know, it's much easier in a sense if you have a job while you're building it up, because to make it the transition easier to the point where your company is self-sustaining, then you can just leave the job. And I think that's where it's really important, you know, for anyone who's thinking about, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, they should think about it first, like to, you know, basically start it on the side. And, you know, one person, I don't know if you might know of him, is Nick Roper with Side Hustle Nation. You know, he depicts many people who have started side businesses while they were at their current jobs because they wanted to do more with their lives, you know, follow their calling. So I think that's one way, that's one important thing that they should do if they want to become an entrepreneur, but don't want to at the same time go all in first.
Now, at what point did you decide to take it full time?
Well, let's say it was last year, but it was under circumstances to where it was kind of a quantum leap in that sense, and I can say I'm still working to grow it to sustainability. So I would advise for anyone to just, you know, don't leave their jobs until they grow their companies first.
Yeah, you have to be able to prove it and prove that you can make enough money and live the lifestyle, you know, that you can look down the line and say, okay, well, today I'm working like 15 to 20 hours and tomorrow I'm working 15 to 20 hours, but, you know, 6 months, a year from now, I have the vision to say, okay, I'm not going to need to work as many hours because I'll have things automated and you can actually see the real path and how you're going to get there. Not just say, oh, well, yeah, I'm just going to hire someone at that point for everything. Like, you need to figure out better ways of doing it. And that's really what, you know, a big part of what being an entrepreneur is all about, is finding out the most efficient way and the cheapest way to make it happen. And it's, you know, it's a shame, I guess, whatever the situation was where with you, where you were kind of thrusted into it. But you know what? Now you know what you have and you know where you have to go in order to make it sustainable.
Yeah, but definitely true there. It's like, you know, you learn from many websites and blogs, like, you know, Danny Iney, of Firepower Marketing. He shared a great webinar on how to build your audience, you know, from 0 to 10,000 subscribers. And basically what he says is just, you know, you have to build your audience, build trust with influencers, you know, and and it's basically really about relationships, you know, because if you run a business and you're trying to gain customers, if you just go out there and just try to sell to them without gaining their trust, then you're going to be having a hard time to gain service and their business. So the best thing to do is to try to at least, you know, go to a lot of events, try to build a friendship, and especially, you know, on social media, try to build that friendship with people, especially on, like, for me, I use Twitter a lot, and I'm participating on a whole lot of Twitter chats, and I was able to build friendships and relationships with people on there because I'm constantly showing up with these chats, which is really amazing. So I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, people should do if they want to succeed with their businesses or their careers.
I'd agree. It's all about relationships. And a lot of times people like to make it about how many times they can have get followers super quick or their email list or anything like that. But at the end of the day, it's really, to me, it's all about the impact that you have with those people, right? It's not just about the width of your following, but the depth. You know, how much are they willing to do for you when you call upon them to say, you know, with the new product that you have, or in my case, a book, you know, like if I didn't have the podcast and I just came out with the book a year ago, I might've gotten, some feedback and I might've been able to do well, but I don't believe I would have done as well if I didn't have the podcast, a year of podcasting under my belt, and a year of touching people's lives, like literally all around the world. So it's really, really, really comes back to relationships. And that's really what I do it for, is for the friendships. It's not just about, oh, my numbers are so big and all that. I mean, my numbers aren't amazing. They're better than some people's, but there's always going to be somebody that's bigger than you. Maybe you just haven't found that person yet to know that they're out there, but they definitely are out there.
Yeah, and the thing, and to touch on what you're saying, you know, with the podcast, is like, you know, podcast really allows people to, you know, gain trust with the audience, and it's a much lower barrier, you know, at the same time as well. Like for what you mentioned with your book, you know, you had the audience because of your podcast. And what is really interesting is that, you know, it's like many small businesses, I don't know if many people are taking advantage of podcasts because of the fact that now, you know, this, you know, I don't know if you know about this, but, you know, this year, like, Apple came up with a CarPlay last year. And it has you know, the podcast, their own podcasting app, and then Stitcher podcasting app as well. And it's going to be in 50% of the cars, I believe, by the end of this year. And it's like, that's a huge opportunity there. And since the barrier is low right now, you know, many should take advantage of it, and especially now, like, you know, probably in the next couple of years, you might have some, you know, corporations are going to be jumping into this, and it's going to be hard for you to crack the top 10 or whatever in podcasting, because it's going to be all the big names, because they have the money and all that. And so it's really interesting that, you know, we have, you know, that is like, now is the time to, you know, jump into podcasting, because the opportunity is here. Because businesses can promote themselves, but at the same time, they got to promote their, you know, show their audience that they are really genuine and they are the real deal. So I think that's where, you know, I think that's the advantage that, you know, podcasting can have. Help them, in a sense, to help them to build that relationship with the audience. I don't want to say quickly, but, you know, over time, build that relationship to the point of where they trust them enough to buy from them. And I think that's what you have done as well. So congrats on that.
Well, thank you. I've been preaching for a little while about the idea that, like, we're just going to wind up becoming pirate radio. because when you look at, like, I mean, CBS just jumped in with the play.it site. And they're doing podcasts, but they're doing podcasts in a way where they're just bringing in, you know, celebrities to do podcasts. And it hurts for hurts people like us, because it's like, hey, this was that thing that nobody cared about for like a decade, and now all of a sudden people care about it, and they're gonna care a lot about it the more celebrities that they could get tied up into doing podcasts. It's good for us, but at the same time, the average person that's listening to that celebrity probably isn't going to give anyone like me or you a chance.
Yeah, but here's the thing though. Is that, you know, I don't know if you might notice, like, you know, with, you know, like, on Twitter, for example, you know, you see celebrities that have a whole lot of followers or whatever, but you don't see the engagement, you know, much, because, you know, it's mostly among themselves and, you know, among themselves and their, you know, their fellow celebrities. But those, like, the ordinary Joes, you know, who have, like, followers, even though it's not large, they are really the influencers because of the fact that the engagement that they have, and I can name a couple people right now who have who are really rock stars in, you know, in social media, you know, Brian Fans, so, you know, Vice Social Fans, you know, Twitter name, and then Rachel Lou Miller. Those two host a Twitter chat called S-Biz Hour, and then Kelly Hungerford, who hosts a Twitter chat calls Biz Heroes, and she have guests who are mostly ordinary business owners who are doing extraordinary things. One, at times she will have some occasional A-lister, but it's basically, you know, building that trust and community. And I'm trying to think of someone else. I can't think of them off the top of my mind right now. But basically that. You know, it's those types of people who are really the true celebrities, in my opinion, you know, in social media, because they're engaging. with the audience. They're building that relationships every day, and they're the ones that are really going to do well. And oh yeah, and I just remembered Tamara McCleary as well. She's another person. She has built a strong trust with her audience as a speaker over time. And ironically, when she jumped on Twitter, she gained like about 40-something thousand followers in less than a year. The reason is because she already had that following offline. So those are the people who really are the true celebrities, in my opinion.
You know, I'd agree with that. And a lot of times it's funny because you'll see a lot of these internet marketers that they have, you know, tens of thousands of followers, and it's like, okay, but they have no interaction either. And I'm like, well, where's my ability to have a conversation with them, or at least have some interactions that I can interact with? You know what I mean? Like, the people that they're interacting with, maybe I want to jump in on the conversation as well. But at the same time, it's like, I don't have that opportunity. So a lot of times I won't even follow people that are tweeting like over and over and over and over again, but they're not ever interacting or anything like that.
Yeah, and I should do at the same time, you know, with, I was thinking about, you know, with, you know, Jared Easley. I don't know if you know Jared Easley.
Of course.
Yeah, he wrote it. They talked about how, you know, you should not try to chase influencers because the fact that they have busy lives as well. But mainly it's like, you know, you yourself are the influencer in a lot of ways, because even though you're not well known, you still have a niche, you know, community. And that's the most important thing. And I think, you know, at the same time, many go into that mindset of, you know, trying to gain as many vanity metrics with number of Twitter followers, you know, to try to showcase it. Even though unfortunately it's a numbers game in a lot of ways. At the same time, you have to try to get the right type of followers. And I can say, like, for one person, you know, Lori Guerry, you know, who's a, you know, she was formerly a community manager at Moldy. She basically grew her following quickly, even though it's not much. I'll say like about 700 something followers. It's still quality followers because they're quality people who have trusted her with her message, and she really shares a lot of that. And so I think, you know, for those people, they should try not to focus on gaining the metrics, but try to focus on gaining the right people who can help, build them up, and who can, you know, share the message. Because it's like this, I think it's like, niche is much better than, quality is much better than quantity in that case. So that's where people should try to focus on, instead of going after the big quantity metrics or vanity metrics.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. Cheval, what was your childhood dream growing up?
My childhood dream was to become a baseball player.
Why? What did you love about baseball?
I guess for me it was easy. I could have played it very well, but I can say, you know, at that same time, it didn't quite pan out because of, you know, I have asthma, so that was the reason for that. But at the same time, it kind of worked itself out in a sense, because I ended up covering sporting events. So in a sense, it kind of worked itself out.
It's funny how that happens, huh? Like you don't always get to do the dream that you wanted, but you always somehow land close to it. When you pick it apart and really look at it and examine the different nuances of it. And then it's like, hey, you know, I didn't end up in baseball, but I am covering sports.
Yeah, definitely. And I can say it was really great, you know, because, you know, got to witness a lot of, you know, historic moments at my alma mater, Sam Houston State University, with the football team. Making two national championship appearances, consecutive ones, and then the baseball team winning, making three automatic NCAA appearances So those were really great. And to add on, the bowling team winning that the first national championship. So those were the great stuff, you know, that I had the opportunity to be a part of, you know, to kind of cover and, you know, and witness in a sense firsthand.
Oh, that's awesome, man. What do your dreams for the future look like?
My dreams for the future, my dreams for the future is to try to, be financially independent. That's one. But at the same time, to continuously do something that I love where I'm making a living at it, and also travel. So that's my dreams for the future there. And of course, to live spend a year on six continents.
That's right. We didn't even, I forgot all about that, that you had mentioned that you wanted to do that. What makes you want to live on all seven continents, or six continents? Because one of them would be a little too cold.
I guess because I want to know what it's like to spend a year, because I've actually spent a month in Mexico and then 3 months in Chile, and of course, those were really great experiences, and that made me like want to know, you know, what it's like to live in a different culture for a very long time. I got a glimpse of that with those two, but I want to know what it's like to live, spend a year in the country, to get to know the nuances of their culture and the way how people live their lives and how they do work. So that's for me is what I really want to do.
Well, I hope you're able to attain that. I mean, you already have the, you know, website business that would allow you to work from anywhere once it is able to be sustainable for you.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, Natalie Sasson is a huge example of that. You know, she basically, you know, run her business from everywhere from around the world. So she is really a huge example of that. And of course, her mission is to get, I think it's a huge number of people to have location independent businesses by 2020. So that's a huge goal, but I think it's very attainable because of the internet. It's really interesting that anyone can create their online business from anywhere. And of course now, you know, companies are starting, I guess in some ways, they're starting to see a trend of remote work from anywhere. So that's a huge boon there.
Yeah, that is a pretty lofty goal. And hopefully she's able to make that happen for a lot of people. And it's awesome that she has a mission that basically she wants to help people get to where they're going, and that's really commendable.
Yeah, and I think that's how you can find your business, build your business from just, you know, solving people's problems. You know, that's a huge simple way to do that. And I think that's where many get it wrong, is they focus on the money instead of, you know, focusing on the goal. You know, on their life calling. So I think that's where it's starting to change. You know, shifting. You know, in that way with many who are, you know, trying to what they love and work, and especially work for a company who are social with their customers, who are making an impact in the world and who's doing it the right way.
I'd agree, Cheval. Is there any last thoughts you'd like to share before we let people know how they can connect with you?
Even though things might not seem to work out at first, you just have to keep on pursuing it, because you have to look at the end goal, you know, long term, instead of, you know, giving up if things doesn't work out immediately. So that would be the main thing that would say to anyone, to just go after your dream.
Couldn't agree more. That's why I'm here, to spread that message. So I would love for you to plug how people can connect with you.
Well, they can connect with me on Twitter at Chevy80, and also on my website, www.volanomedia.com. And also, if they want to, check out my books, it's on Amazon. It's called 8 Things You Need to Do Before Quitting Your Job, How to for the Inevitable Layoff, and 8 Lessons Every Podcaster Needs to Learn. Both of those are currently on Amazon at the moment, and I think also on Google Plus as well.
Awesome. Well, I'll have links to all those in the show notes so people can find them for you at howtodream.co.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe. Okay.
No problem. It's been a great talk. I enjoy talking, internet marketing with you, and it's always fun to talk about social media and the nuances and how people go about, gaining their influence in the world. So I'd love to have you back again in 6 months to a year to chat about how you've been and where you're living.
Definitely, I would love to be back on your show, and also you're welcome back anytime on my show. I just remembered my podcast too. I just remembered my show What's the Word too. They can go on www.blogtalkradio.com/Verano Media. I can't believe I forgot that.
Sorry, it happens to the best of us. You had quite a few things to plug as it is, so I know when I have things to plug, I tend to forget things.
But definitely would love to have you back on my show too.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, again, thank you for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Hey Dreamers, Joe here. I really appreciate you listening to Dreamers Podcast. If you'd like to find out how to support the show, please visit howtodream.co/support for all the ways you can help out. Thanks for the support, and please keep on dreaming.